sings a hymn of praise, actually. It is a hymn of praise that has been contained in Christian liturgy as a canticle known as the Song of Mary. You may know it as the Magnificat. It's interesting to note that Luke records four such hymns of promise fulfillment theme in his gospel record. We have Mary's song here in Luke chapter 1, but we also have Zechariah's Benedictus in verses 67 through 79. We also have the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And then we have the fourth such hymn in Simeon's song, chapter 2, verse 28 through 32, where he lifts up the baby Jesus in the temple and sings the song of fulfillment, the fulfillment of the promise that he would not see death until the Lord's Messiah should come. These are significant mentions for Luke, as his record is intended to gather the evidence and the eyewitness accounts concerning the testimony that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We know this from his opening in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, where he writes this to a particular individual for the purpose of confirming everything this individual has heard concerning Jesus Christ. Luke carries this over in the book of Acts, where in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, he gives a second writing, actually, or he extends his writing, we might say, to the same recipient for the purpose, as stated by Luke, to show that the things that are said of Christ be true. And so these hymns, these songs of promise fulfillment are going to be important for Luke in his presentation of the facts that Jesus is the long-awaited for Messiah. Now, there is debate among scholars. What is a scholar? I don't know. I suppose you have to have a little bit of unbelief to be a scholar these days. But the scholars debate whether or not Mary is the origin of this canticle, at least by way of lyric. But as it stands, Luke explains that she both sang the hymn and interpreted the lyrics as applying to the contemporary events taking place in her own day. One of the driving factors of the debate stems from the fact that Mary's lyrics actually echo the song of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And if you get a chance later today, I would encourage you to read Hannah's song of praise in 1 Samuel chapter 2. She has received the word from the priest that she would, in fact, have a child, and she sings in celebration. And what's interesting is that her words, her lyrics of celebration, are echoed almost precisely by Mary here in Luke chapter 1. In Hannah's song, she presents messianic salvific realities. Realities that would not be true because of her son, but through the ministry of her son would come one like unto him, a greater prophet, a better than prophet, who would bring the fulfillment of all these things of which she would be singing of. In both of these songs, the Messiah's kingdom effectively flips the conditions of the current fallen age in order to make human and moral wrongs right again. It would interest the serious Bible student to note that Jesus himself makes mention of some of these reversals in his teaching on the kingdom, in his discourse on the mountain in Matthew chapter 5. Where there in Matthew chapter 5, all the way through to the end of chapter 7, you'll hear things such as, blessed are, right? And you've also heard it said, but I say unto you. And so in these expressions, there are reversals of current conditions. It will not be the poor who will be needy. It will not be the starving who will be hungry. It will not be get even with your neighbor, for that is justice. The kingdom has come, and he has brought with him, this great king, the reversals of our fallen age. And this is what these ladies speak of. This is what they sing of by way of prophecies and fulfillments. By the time we get to the gospel records, the reader is well able to discern a distinct and timeless expectation of restoration. So it is to be expected that there should be a bit of redundancy in the narratives, whether it is declared by word instruction or herald in song. And so whether or not Mary originated the words doesn't matter, does it? What matters is she sings its fulfillment truths. In fact, I would probably be more troubled if Mary sang a different song than what we would have read in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And so this agreement for me gives surety to the fact that what they sing of is found in the fulfillment in the coming of the baby, Jesus the Christ. At any rate, Mary's song reveals to the reader that she knew the scriptures. And as she sings, she models for us a mind that is saturated with the scriptures. In this song, she alludes to the Psalms. She alludes to Psalm 103, Psalm 22, Psalm 44, Psalm 89, Psalm 147, and Psalm 25. As we have previously mentioned, Mary's song also alludes back to Hannah's hymn, which means consequently that all these Psalms attest also to Hannah's song, if Mary's song attests to Hannah's song, for the Psalms attest to Mary's songs. And since Mary's song reflects Hannah's own sentiments, we should expect to see connections, which we do. Except where the first part of Hannah's lyrics are in the prophetic perfect, that is, they are so certain to be that they are expressed as already happened. The last two verses of Hannah's song identify that these realities are actually not yet. Verses 9 and 10 of 1 Samuel 2. And so while she sings the first eight songs as if they have already come and already are here and have already been accomplished, verse 9 and 10 gives us a peek of what she actually means. It's yet to come in a greater prophet and in a greater promise fulfillment. In Mary's song, she magnifies the Lord. For he, notice this in her language, has helped, and he is doing what he promised to the fathers. Verse 55. There is no future qualification in Mary's song. Why? Because the fulfillment is here. Everything is yes and amen in Jesus the Christ. Mary is simply restating, if in fact Mary is restating Hannah's song, she is restating the song by expressing that their fulfillment has arrived. But what is of crucial importance concerning the emphasis of fulfillment will come from something that Elizabeth says to Mary in verse 45. And what is what Elizabeth says to Mary in verse 45? And what is this thing that Elizabeth says to Mary? Blessed is she who, what? Who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And what was spoken to Mary? Well, is as Brother Andy mentioned earlier, you are going to give birth to the Messiah, And he is going to come and he's going to save his people from their sins. This is going to be a sad joy. This is going to be a bloody redemption. This is going to be a deadly living. Because he is come to reverse the curse of the fall. Blessed is she who believes this, who believes that there will be a fulfillment of everything the Lord has said to us. Believing in Jesus as God's promise fulfillment, believing in Jesus as God's provided salvation, is where one finds the Christmas season's joy, peace, and tidings glad. We listen to modern Christmas songs. I don't know if we can call them Christian, but the modern Christmas songs, and we hear about Christmas wishes, right? I want peace on earth. I want men to stop fighting and arguing, right? I want children to stop being abused, and all of these things we can sentiment with. But where do these things find their end? How will they find their end? It won't be by simply pleading to human flesh. There will need to be a reversal of events if we are truly going to have joy on earth, peace on earth, and have good tidings for men. And this is what Mary is praising. This is what she rejoices in. That God has worked mightily. That his arm has come to save. He has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. And he has done great things. Notice she says, not through me. Right? So we don't pray to Mary because she's able to do things. Notice her words. He has done great things. What? For me. For me. I don't usually like to watch Christmas story type movies, but the Christmas narrative movie does one thing well in its projection, and that is it gives very clearly the situation that Mary would have had to have experienced in that moment in time. And at least in the nativity story, you sense the fact that Mary bears the reproach of Jesus. Think about what she would have had to have bore out on herself for carrying a child when she knew not a man as she pleaded. She bears the reproach. She receives the hard end of that messianic fulfillment. And she doesn't grumble or complain about it. She doesn't say, why do I have to go through this? She says, why would you pick me? She doesn't see this as a begrudging thing, as a detriment. She sees this as a mighty work of God's power. This is the lens of faith, believing that what God was going to bring to her was joy, peace, and glad tidings. We can't miss that. And so we listen to Elizabeth as she tells Mary, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment. We do not celebrate Christmas arbitrarily. We do not celebrate some arbitrary joy and peace and this hope for good tidings. We don't look for something generally, because you won't find any of that in the general. If anyone is going to have the Christmas spirit, the joy of the season, then they will find it in the reason for the season, the person of the season. They will find it in Jesus, the Christ. And the way we find Christ is through faith. through believing. As Brother Andy mentioned earlier, no one will ever be saved by believing a fact about Jesus. That he came, that he died, that he was God's son. It means nothing if it is not attained by faith. Romans chapter 9. This is why the Jewish nation missed him. They did not take him as by faith. Blessed is the one who believes that there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to us from the Lord. As a final emphasis of this point, I would have you note the immediate response that comes from men concerning Jesus. In Luke chapter 8, we will find, and we don't have to turn there, but I'm just making mention of this chapter in Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8, excuse me, after the Beatitudes, in Matthew chapter 8, what we notice there in Matthew chapter 8 is that immediately after Jesus' teaching on the kingdom reversal effect, the very things that were spoken by Hannah and Mary in their songs, in Matthew chapter 8, we find the immediate response of humans to Jesus as fulfillment. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, we have a man crying out, "Jesus, if you would, you can make me clean." That was the voice of a leper. Notice, he's not asking Jesus, "Can you make me clean?" He knows this. How does he know this? By faith. He says, "I know you can. If you are willing, make me clean." This is the very first response, and Jesus' words crush me. What does he say to this leper? "I am willing." He is willing to save all who believe. I am willing. Then after verses 1 through 3, you come to verse 10. And there we have a Roman soldier, a leader, sick daughter, comes to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, "I know what it is to be a leader. I know what it is to have a following. I know the stresses. I know the power you wield. I don't want you to even come. Simply speak the words, and I know my daughter will be healed." This is a Roman pagan soldier. And in Matthew chapter 8, the words of Jesus as he looks upon this Roman pagan and says, "I have not seen such faith in Israel. Go, for it is done to you as you have said." There's the peace, and there's the joy, and there's the glad tidings found in Jesus Christ, obtained through faith. So the gospel is presented this morning. Brother Andy did it very well. These are truth realities. That's the doctrine of the coming of Jesus Christ. He came to bring salvation. He came for the elect of God to save them from their sins. And all who come to him by faith will receive that sanctification. What's interesting to note is all that are God's by election are Christ through faith. So, if you can hear these words concerning Jesus Christ and believe them, then my call to you this morning is believe, and find the joy that you've been seeking. Find the peace that passes understanding, and receive the power of the glad tidings that salvation has come. Will you sing with Mary? Will you sing with Hannah? Will you declare with Zechariah and Simeon, "Salvation has come"? Receive him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for the singing. We ask now that as we meditate upon these things, that you will bring to our hearts the necessary faith to receive Jesus the Christ for our own redemption, and that we might know him and see him for who he is, God's salvation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you.